Good Wednesday evening, Central Baptist Church, family, friends, and guests. We want to welcome you to this Wednesday, the April the 22nd Bible study for Wednesday evening. Tonight, we're actually going to be looking at some passages out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and that's going to be dealing with the temptation of Christ. Before we get to that, I want you to kind of think about something for just a few moments. It's something that we kind of tease around about here at the office, but I want you to think for a moment of what it's like when you're hungry. I've heard that expression before, where folks have actually called that term hangry, where they're so hungry they get angry. And when those type things happen, people kind of act outside of what they normally act. So they can get mean. I believe Snickers, the Snickers bar company, actually came up with those statements. It says, "You're not yourself when you're hungry." And many of you all have seen those commercials, which are kind of hilarious. And then once they kind of knock the hunger down, they become more of themselves. But I want you to think about what that's like for just a few moments, because that's one of the aspects that took place during the temptation of Christ. If you've got your Bible, as we look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' Verse 4, but Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.' Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship me, all will be yours.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' Verse 9, then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us direction. You have given us a guide by which to follow. Lord, help us to truly be Christian, which means Christ-like, and to follow you along the way when it comes to temptation. For Lord, we realize and know that we have those, and we have them often. We have them on a daily basis. Lord, we ask that you would bless our time that we will spend together. Lord, the time in your word, may you teach us. And may we grow from it. So, Lord, we just ask that you would personally protect each and every person that's tuned in today. Bless them in a very special way for taking this time to gather around your word. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at this particular passage in the story, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days. 40 days to go out and to fast and to pray. There are many, many messages that can come from this. When you think about the fact that Jesus himself had to take time away to spend time with the Father, what does that tell us about how we should be taking time in the Word and in prayer to be able to spend with the Father outside of the distractions? This is one of the things that I've said that this pandemic has really done for us. It has slowed us down. It's given us time to revisit the things that are so important. I pray that you are redeeming this time of quarantine to spend more time with the Father, to polish up that prayer life, to polish up that time of being in His Word and that Bible study. Because Jesus led by example, and he went out and took this time to be able to pray and to fast and to get in touch with the Father. One of the questions I might ask you is, have you ever taken that time to actually do a fast? Now, I'm not saying 40 days. Obviously, you would want to be doing that along with a doctor's guidance in a way to be able to help you in doing that. I'm not saying don't, but I'm saying be very careful if you're going to do something that is going to last that long and take that long. So Jesus has gone to take some time to spend with the Father. And in the midst of that time that he was spending with the Father, something happened to him that happens to you and I, something that we're familiar with. Along the way, Jesus is being tempted. You know, it says along the way, not only along the way, but afterward as well. Notice what it says in verse 1 and 2. It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, think about that for a moment. Afterward, when they had ended, meaning the time that he was fasting, the time that he was spending with the Father, he was hungry. I can imagine one of the kind of standard jokes around the office is that everything shuts down at 11:30. We go to lunch. The stomach says it's time to go to lunch. A lot of folks would sit back and say, it'd be hard for me to fast 40 days when I can't even make it past one meal. So when we think about this, Jesus has spent 40 days in the wilderness. He has spent 40 days in prayer, 40 days with the Father. And the word tells us in verse 2 that after that had taken place, he was hungry. Naturally, one of the first things that you would probably think about doing is breaking the fast, getting a little bit of something to eat. And lo and behold, who shows up on the scene right in the aftermath but Satan himself, to bring a temptation, you know, to the Lord, you know. And I want you to think about who he is for a minute, what it is that the devil wants to do. I want to recall a passage over in the book of John chapter 8, verse 44, that says this. It says, John chapter 8, verse 44 says, you, this is referring to Satan, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we know that here is Satan himself, the father of all lies, that is tempting Jesus in the midst of this time when he is of need, in the midst of this crisis. And in this verse, you know, Jesus tells us many things about Satan. You know, he tells us that after he poses the question in verse 3, he says, and the devil said to him, you are the son of God. Command these stones to become bread. Now think about it. Here's a question that I have been very, very often asked by people, you know, along the way throughout my ministry. I've had many, many folks who have come and asked me, they say, is it a sin to be tempted? The answer to that question is emphatically no. It is not a sin for you to be tempted. It only becomes a sin when you give in to that temptation. Now, these particular words tell us that right here, because we know that even the perfect person in Jesus, the perfect deity in Jesus, was tempted. So if being tempted equaled being a sinner, then Jesus would be a sinner and he would not be able to pay the price for our sins. So if you are tempted, that is not a sin. It only becomes a sin when you give in to that particular temptation. So keep that in mind, because I've been asked so many times about that, particularly when somebody is struggling with something. Now, you know, my question is, did you give in to the temptation? Once you give in to the temptation, then yes, it obviously becomes a sin. But having that constant nagging of Satan, and we realize from these scriptures that he's pretty persistent when it comes down to being in your face, particularly in an area of weakness. And that is exactly what he did with Jesus, because verse 4 says that Jesus answered him and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, think about this for a moment. We know that Jesus was extremely hungry. He'd been fasting for 40 days. Satan knew exactly where to hit him and exactly where to tempt him. In your life, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you during this time, you know exactly weaknesses that you have as the Holy Spirit has revealed them to you. And I can make you a promise that Satan has taken every moment and every opportunity to try to push your button in those areas and where you struggle, in those areas in which you have trouble dealing with, in areas that you have at times failed and failed multiple times. He knows exactly what button to push. And this is what he did to Jesus. He knew Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. And that very first temptation that he came to him and he said was, he says, well, you know, you got to be hungry. So since you are, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Now, when you think about it, the devil tempted Jesus in two different ways, at least two different ways in this particular passage. And one of those was in the flesh. It would have been very, very easy for Jesus to say, well, I'm hungry. I'm starving, really. And yes, I can turn those stones into bread. Yes, I can have a meal. And not only could I do that, I could show my power to Satan. But then what would happen would be Jesus would be playing right along with Satan's game, and he would be doing something that we often look at and see that Jesus doesn't do in these days. See, many people want a test of faith. Many people will sit back and say, well, Lord, if you truly are Lord, then why don't you do A or B or C? Or if this is what takes place, we put God to the test when it comes down to things like that, because we want some sort of a definitive answer along the way. You know, that is not faith. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The Lord's wanting us to trust him by faith to deliver us. So Satan tempted Jesus in a way of the flesh, because he knew that he was hungry, as we read about in verse 3. But also down there in verse 6, he tempted him in another way. He tempted him in the way of pride, because verse 6, Satan says to him this. It says, and the devil said, verse 6, to him, all authority I give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Think about that for a moment. Satan is sitting back saying, well, I have all this this authority, and I will give this authority to you if you will worship me. Verse 7 says, therefore, if you will worship me, all will be yours. That's what Satan's saying. He says, well, if you worship me, I'll give you all this authority. Folks have gone to war over authority in this day and age. Look at our current situation of politics. People love power. It is something that people crave. It is something that people go after. So Satan not only tempted Jesus in the way of the flesh when he was hungry, he also tempted him in the way of pride by saying, well, you know what? If I give in to him, then all these people will revere me, and they will essentially will give homage, pay homage to me as the person. But Satan is trying to work in those particular areas. Let me ask you a question. What is it that Satan is working in your life? Is he working in areas that are fleshly areas to tempt you in your life? Is he working in the area of pride? We know that pride goeth before the fall. If we look back even to the time when Satan was cast out of heaven, it was all because of pride. He felt like he's the one who should be being honored. He felt like he was the one who should have everybody worshiping him. And to this very day, Satan still operates under that same auspice. He still operates under the fact that he wants people to worship him, and he will do that until the Lord finally puts him in his place in the end times. So just in the same manners in which Satan tempted Jesus, he tempts you and I, and he does that on a daily basis. Now, it's interesting that when we look at this, he came to Jesus when he was at a vulnerable time. Satan loves to come after you when you're down. He loves to come at you when you are at your weakest point. He is not one who's going to try to wait until you have a better day. He says, while you're down, that's when I'm going to try to come after you. And those moments when it's easy to tempt you are the times that he's going to come after you. So I want you to be very, very careful to guard your steps and guard your way. But there's another thing that Jesus gives us in this passage that I think is so very important. It is the way that we have the opportunity to battle temptations within our lives. And the key to doing that is to use the exact same method that Jesus used in these particular scriptures that we read about. And I just gave you the answer to it. The way that Jesus battled Satan and did not give in to those temptations was through scripture. That's how. He quoted scripture. along the way. Now, those were the things that he said. If you go back and look at it again, and particularly, let's back up to verse 4. When the temptation was for Jesus to turn the stones into bread, verse 4 says this: Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." This is what he's telling him. In other words, it's not that it just bread. There's a spiritual side to this thing. Once again, down in verse eight, after he was being tempted, that he would have everything and people would revere him. Verse 8 says, "And Jesus answered to him, 'Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Okay, now that comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13. So when we look at this, the way that Jesus combated temptation was scripture. So why do I say all these things? That is why it's so critical for you and I today to be students of the Word, to be in the Word of God, not just to superficially read it, but to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the Word, to take these scriptures and truly hide them in our heart, that we might not sin against God. That when we are tempted with these things, that we can go to the Word of God in the same manner that Jesus did. It may not be right there physically in your hand that you're holding your Bible and can make a reference to it. But that's why scripture memory is important as well, to commit them to our minds and commit them to our hearts, that they can be called upon when needed to battle this temptation. So the way that Jesus was victorious in the midst of the temptation was that he used scripture in which to do that. And I also want to give you a passage that comes out of the book of James, chapter 4, in verse 7. And it tells us another tool that we have to resist the devil and his temptations. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this: "Therefore, submit to God." In other words, it's not about us. It's about him. We have relinquished our life to him. We are trying to live a life as a disciple. We're in his word. We're in prayer. We're following him. Submit ourselves to God. James 4:7, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. In other words, you got to get your no back. You know, I've said this a couple of times. There comes times we have to say no. No, Satan, you cannot have my life. No, Satan, you cannot have the life of my family or my children. No, Satan, I'm not going to give in to this temptation. I'm not going to give in to something that is going to hurt or just crush my Savior. You know, I love him. I want to be what he wants me to be. And I know that to follow that path or that road of sin would break his heart. So I want to resist it. And notice what it says. It tells us that when we resist the devil, he's going to do something. He is going to flee from us. He is going to go away. He is going to get away from us. So we've got to call on the tools that we have. We've got to understand the temptation. And I promise you that the Holy Spirit is going to lead you in your life. When the temptations come along, the Word also tells us that there hath no temptation given you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. So you know what? Satan may seem like he's closed in all around you. The temptation may seem to be so thick and heavy in your life, but I can promise you this, that according to the Word of God, he has provided a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. The question is, will we be prayed up enough to take the way out, the way of Jesus? Will we be Bible studied up enough that we know what the Word tells us and what the Word promises us? Will we be able to be spiritual enough in the middle of the temptation to see the door of escape that the Lord has provided for us, that we may not fall into those particular temptations? You know, that's the reason why daily Bible reading is so important. That is why it is a vital part of our lives. Now, one of the issues that comes along so often is this, that people sit back, and you might have even had victory in your life over temptation, which I truly and certainly hope that you have. And as you have more and more victories, we begin to see and understand the power of what God can do. But here's the one thing that kind of gets us at times. We may have victory, and we walk away, and we may feel good about what we've done. We may feel fulfilled. We may even feel spiritual about being able to resist a temptation. But I want to promise you something. Satan's not going to be gone for long. He's going to be back. It's kind of interesting what verse 13 of this particular passage in Luke's Gospel chapter 4 says. It says this. It says, now when the devil had ended every temptation, this was to Jesus, he departed from him until an opportune time. You know what that means? That means this, that you may have had victory in Jesus over that temptation, but Satan is still watching you. Satan still has his eye on you. He still knows the areas in which he can tempt your life. He's going to look for you when you're hungry like Jesus was. He's going to look for the areas of pride in your life, and he's going to try to push that button. He is going to try to tempt you that you may fall into sin, that you may hurt the Savior. So today I'm asking you, as you begin to think about the things in your life, the temptations that you struggle with, what are those particular temptations that the devil has been attacking you with? And how can we become more like Jesus? Yeah, how can we become a one who sits back and can truly say, get thee behind me, Satan? Do we run to the scripture where we're supposed to? Do we run to him in prayer? Do we rely on those particular items to get us through? Because those are our offensive weapons when Satan comes knocking and when Satan comes to tempt us along the way. My prayer and my faith and trust in the Lord says that his word is enough. His word's enough for me. It was enough for Jesus. It is enough for you. Will you rally around God's word, and may you find victory in the temptations that come your way? Let me have a word of prayer with you, and then I'm going to give you what the Bible readings for next Wednesday will be. I pray and trust that God's going to give you a great week in Christ and victory over the temptations that are going to be coming your way. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. Once again, I'm so grateful for your word, the guide that we have. Help us, Lord, to truly be disciples of yours, that as we surround ourselves with your word, that we become so close to you that even the hint of temptation just truly runs that red flag up in our hearts and in our lives. And then, Lord, help us to follow you through that pathway that you provide that will bring victory over these temptations. Lord, bless each and every family that's represented in this particular viewership this evening. Lord, I pray you'll bless them again. Keep them safe. Keep them healthy. Help us get through this pandemic, and help us to be stronger for you because of it. Help us to draw upon you during this time when you have separated us out. Lord, may we be able to spend more quality time with you during this quarantine time. Draw us close to you. Strengthen us, Lord, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again tonight for joining us. Again, we invite you to be with us Sunday morning as we once again will bring you a message from God's Word. We will continue with our discipleship Wednesday evenings. I want to go ahead and give you what the Bible readings will be for April the 29th, and then I will post these on our site as well. But the Bible readings for next week, or actually from today through to next week, you will actually read Luke chapter 7 through Luke chapter 11. So again, that's Luke chapter 7 through Luke chapter 11. And next week when we come together, we will be looking at the story of the Good Samaritan, which will come out of Luke's gospel, chapter 10, specifically verses 25 through 37. Thank you again for joining us on this Wednesday evening Bible study. We trust and pray that God is going to not only bless your heart, but he's going to teach you some things in this downtime. And I pray that we all, when we have the opportunity to come back once again, that we will be closer to our Father because what we've learned during this time of pandemic. God bless you. I'll see you Sunday morning.